Yeah, we're gonna
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, everybody.
Thank you, thank you.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Time,
time is 4:46. So if you could please take your seats, that would be much appreciated. If you didn't get any food, do so now or later. I don't really care. But definitely eat it.
Let's go for a second.
Lovely.
Thank you.
The time is 4:46. The date is Thursday, September 7th, 2023. By the power vested in me by the Board of Trustees of Cornell University, I'm calling this meeting to order. If we could get a roll call, that would be fantastic.
Where's our roll call person at?
Do we have
a individual to do roll call?
I think.
Lovely.
Oh, Jenny's
there. Lovely. Watch.
All right. These are the.
Can you DH all this?
Thank you. Oh, sorry. So can't spell your name.
Is that a run of show for today?
Yes, this is the run of show doc. It's the same one from last week.
Beautiful.
It just added above.
Also, Office of Ethics has an announcement to make as we're going through. If you want us to listen, go through.
Quiet the assembly room, please. Quiet the assembly room.
Marwa Bakri.
Oh, yes.
Lucia Balistrieri. Lizzie Barrett.
Present.
Issa Tu Berry.
Present.
Rocco DiLorenzo.
Excuse.
Karis Everett.
Present.
Niles Hide.
It's height, but present.
Height is, yeah, thank you. Clyde Letterman.
Present.
Ezugo Anonye.
Present.
Suraj Parikh. Casey Platkin. Imani Rizaka. Zika. Andrew Richmond. Stellar Sun. Andrew Talone.
Present.
Benjamin Terhar. Claire Ting. Adam Vincent.
Present.
Amy Wang.
Present.
And then Patrick Keel.
Present. And if you didn't get it, Noon Sun's proxy will be Vice President Letterman today.
Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for coming today. We start all of our meetings with a land acknowledgement of Cornell University. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gaigahono Cayuga Nation. The Gaigahono are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of Gaigahono dispossession and honor the ongoing connection of the Gaigahono people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Moving on with the agenda, now is time for open microphone, which is a time for community members to speak. Would anybody like to speak from the audience? Lovely. Seeing none, we will move on to the approval of the meeting minutes. Those are posted in the box. Please take a couple minutes to review those. And at a point when somebody is ready, the chair would smile favorably on a movement to approve the meeting minutes by unanimous consent. Trustee Swenson.
Motion to approve the minutes by unanimous consent.
Is there a second? Second.
Second.
Lovely. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, the meeting minutes are passed. We will next move on to the report section. We will start with the executive board. Do any executive board members have any reports to make? Vice President Letterman.
Hello, all. I'm sure you saw the survey go out about liaisons to bylines. We had a couple great responses so far. I think slope day has already been snatched up. So if anyone's interested in serving, please fill out that out by noon tomorrow. Once again, we'll be having an internal operations committee tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. And thank you to all the members who participated so far. Right now, we're marking up section or Article 4 of the charter, which relates to various things sort of concerning membership. So if you're interested in participating or have any questions or concerns about the charter or governing documents like to be reviewed, I can send out, let me know, and I'll send you where we're meeting. It's in the Catherwood Library. But that's it for me. And just make sure you fill out that liaison interest form if you're interested in serving any of those positions or committees.
Lovely.
just for community members out there, if you're interested in applying to committees, those applications are on the Office of Assembly's website. Yes, Vice President Ting.
Hi, everyone. Just as a side note to that, the Office of Assemblies is having some technical issues with the website at the moment. If there is a committee that you are particularly interested in, I highly recommend you look up who the chair of said committee is, as well as CC the Office of Assemblies to ensure that we can receive your application. Thank you all so much for being here.
Other executive committee members wishing to speak? Seeing none, we are going to jump right back to the announcement section real quick. As Trustee Swenson pointed out that I skipped it. Any announcements on the floor? Trustee Swenson.
Hey, everyone. I just want to say this is the most packed I've seen this room in a long time, actually ever. So thank you all for coming. There's free food if you guys want. But I was just going to say, tomorrow I'm meeting with Vice President Lombardi. So if anyone in this room has any issues, topics that need to be expedited in terms of you want an answer ASAP, please let me know. For the people here, you know, like the Student Assembly, we pass resolutions, and those resolutions kind of get stamped on the president's desk, Martha Pollack. It takes a long time for her to respond to us or even give us an answer. So, you know, in a more efficient way, just start conversations with them, ask them for lunch, you know, hop on a phone call. So I'm doing that tomorrow. So if anyone has any issues or topics, please let me know.
Lovely. Thank you, Trustee Swenson. Any other announcements on the floor? Chair Bangura.
Okay. For reference, I am the chair of the Office of Ethics. For all of the new members and the committee members who are here, the Office of Ethics is the unbiased arm of the Student Assembly that is tasked with ensuring accountability, ethical conduct, justice, and growth, and is tasked with investigating all necessary concerns related to ethics and accountability. The bylaws of the Student Assembly require the Office of Ethics to keep the Assembly updated on everything that it did in the previous year. So I'm just going to give a short recapping of that, which is essentially that the Office of Ethics was able to participate in about 7 to 10 mediations between Student Assembly members in regards to ethical concerns that were posted last year. And in addition to that, it was also able to produce Resolution 3, which resolved or gave a temporary resolution to the presidential succession for this term. With that, those are most of the updates. If anybody has any questions, feel free to reach out to me or, you know, to pose them now, but yeah.
Lovely, thank you, Chairman Bangura. We will move back into our reports section. University Assembly Representative Wallen, could you please give a report on the University Assembly meeting?
Yeah, so the University Assembly meets bi-weekly. So we met this week, and we've appointed Student Assembly liaisons to the committees that the students, only Student Assembly can fill. And also the last update would be that we are still accepting members to be part of the associated committees, such as campus planning, transportation and here, welfare, and also infrastructure. So don't hesitate to reach out to me or anybody on the University Assembly if you want to be involved.
Lovely, thank you. University Assembly Representative Vincent, do you have anything to add? Do you have anything to add to Representative Wallen's report? Lovely. Vice President DeLorenzo is not currently present. Vice President Letterman already gave a report. Vice President Barry, do you have any announcements?
Yeah, so for the Diversity Committee, we're meeting tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. in Yuris Hall. If anyone, I see the room is kind of full, which is nice, but if any of y'all want to join, find me after this meeting. I'll give you guys more details. So looking forward to seeing you all tomorrow.
Lovely. Thank you, Vice President Barry. Vice President Parikh.
The External Communications Committee held our interviews for committee members from the student body, and we will be confirming those at today's meeting, and we'll probably be holding a meeting next week. If anybody in the audience is interested in joining the External Communications Committee, I recommend you come talk to me after the meeting.
Thank you, Vice President Parikh. Chairman Height, academic policy.
Nothing to report at this time, but our first meeting is next week, though, so we'll have more for you.
Lovely. Thank you for getting that organized. Chairman Magard, SAIFC.
SAIFC will be meeting tomorrow in Olin. So if you are interested in being a part of infrastructure projects here on campus, definitely reach out to me and I will give you the meeting information.
Chairman Sun, international students. Not present. Chairman Wang, student health.
Hi. Yeah, so we met last week for the first time. So thank you to the people that showed up. Well, there's no meeting this Friday because we're trying to find a better time and date that doesn't conflict with the other committees. And if you're interested in joining Student Health Advisory Committee, reach out to me, find me after. I'm hosting like interviews for the undergrad positions next Monday and Tuesday.
Lovely. Thank you, Chairman Wang. That is all of our officer reports, committees, and liaison reports for this week. I will now move on to the presentation section of our agenda. Clyde Letterman, liaison appointments. Oh, this is last week. My apologies. Presentations. I see no presentations on the agenda. There's nothing on the old business calendar. So now we will move into the resolutions calendar. Resolution 16, Student Assembly Allyship to the Cornell LGBTQ plus Community 1 Resolution. Please come to the table. Thank you all for being here, and please speak close to the mic when you present.
Hello, hello, good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone in the audience. This is crazy. Yeah, I've never seen this many people in the audience before, so it's just fantastic to see students coming out and wanting to be more involved in what's going on here on campus. If I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you yet, my name is Karis Everett. I'm the LGBTQIA plus liaison at large here at Cornell University. I'm also the political action chair for Haven. Right here, I have my wonderful co-presidents to present this resolution that we have on the floor. Before we get into that, though, I would like to address the assembly. To put it bluntly, you know, I think this is a really great example to remind us that our positions on the assembly at the end of the day are to serve our community. I am not exempt from this. I also voted in favor of Resolution 9. However, we see that it's very important, even if a rule or phrasing may not affect a large amount of students, it still affects the students. And when we are passing these resolutions, I think it's important from here on out, even if it sounds nitpicky or tedious, that we remember what we pass affects the student body. And I think as an assembly, if we can agree moving forward, regardless of how we choose to move forward with this resolution, that we remember it's about all of the students and not just the majority or for our own personal benefit. With that being said, I will pass the mic over to co-president Piper.
Okay. Just to go over a little bit of like what Kara said and also like some of my next concerns, just to give you like an overview of what we'll be getting into today. So we realize that student assembly like doesn't pass these sorts of rules in regards to like byline funding and like all other aspects of what student assembly works on, like without care and like without thinking about what would be best for the student body. But we do also recognize that sometimes there are oversights in regards to certain communities that people may not be a part of, or you know, certain identities or backgrounds that are not represented on student assembly. And I think this is the case in the resolution that we're presenting today. as Haven has been asked to provide a full list of their membership to student assembly. And I think for many other orgs, that might seem okay, or like just a precautionary measure to make sure that people aren't like fudging numbers or like saying that they have more members than they actually do. But in our case, it presents a very real danger to our community. For example, if you're a part of any other, well, not any other, but for example, like CU Tonight, like there isn't really much of a safety concern with having your name out there and saying like, hey, I'm part of CU Tonight. But, you know, our membership list is confidential on campus groups and should be confidential, like for a reason. There are like very many hate crimes that happen against queer folks, you know, across the country. It's not something that we haven't heard about in the news. And while it may seem that it is okay to show that list of members to a small portion of students here at Cornell who are part of like the appropriations committee, it is still a big concern because, you know, just the fact that we would be outing all of these members is in fact just a moral and like ethical concern. Like they did not consent to this. They probably wouldn't even know it was like happening, so they could be confronted by someone else who suddenly knows like their identities that they hadn't consented to share. And so yeah, all of these problems kind of arise out of asking us to release our membership to the Appropriations Committee, which is why we're here to ask you to consider that we be exempt from this requirement. Thank you. I'm gonna pass it on to Nick.
Yeah, and just to expand upon the remarks of my co-president, I would say that, you know, we are guiding this resolution under the civil rights legislation framework of adverse impact, which dictates that just because a rule is ostensibly neutral or universal or standardized on its face doesn't mean that the rule doesn't disproportionately or specifically impact in a negative manner a certain group's ability to participate or enjoy in the fullness of an institution or set of activities. And we find this requirement of listing members to be very apprehensive and very harmful to Haven's mission, which is fundamentally supporting the LGBTQ plus community. And we would like to continue to navigate this process of byline and be able to acquire the funding we need to support the LGBTQ plus community on campus by exploring alternative ways and means that we will hopefully be getting into over the course of these proceedings without the tactic that is invariably outing members of the LGBTQ plus community here on campus, no matter how small the group to which they're being outed. We find it to be inherently unjust that it would be shared with a third party in this manner to whom our members have not consented. And we actually find that it would be setting up a uniquely and disproportionately adverse impact on our ability to conduct future efforts in organization if it became known by our members that they could not trust that their information and names would not be released to a third party if they turn them over to us, which could affect further campus groups registration and Haven's ability to conduct itself. I will now be passing it off to Vice President Claire Tang.
Hi, everyone. So I wanted to add on that in addition to the request for Haven to be exempt, we have also taken into consideration alternative standards that Haven must be held to, seeing as they are still a byline organization. There's a standard of ethical conduct they must be held to. And for those of you who haven't had a chance to fully read Resolution 16, that's gonna be the second "be it therefore resolved" clause, starting from line 57 all the way down to line 62. And this essentially just asks for quantitative information that does not compromise the personal safety and privacy of the LGBTQ students and community of Haven, and asks for verification from the director of Haven to do so and presenting this exemption. Now, I wanna briefly outline what supporting this resolution today means. The implications is that this is the first of all, a vote for yes means a vote to support and allow this exemption to disclose membership names on the byline application. As it stands right now, because there are no exceptions, Haven would be considered ineligible, so this resolution seeks to resolve that. Finally, I wanted to add that this is only one part of an ongoing effort to codify this protection for Haven into our governing documents, and that we will be revisiting this in the form of bylaw and charter amendments in the future. Thank you all.
Lovely. We'll now be moving into questions and comments. Executive Archivist Kalinske.
First of all, amazing resolution. You all did a wonderful job on this. I have a question about line 58, where I believe that the term LGBTQ plus student union provides data on the quantity of current members. Can you elaborate on where specifically this data is coming from and how it will be done such that the student assembly can verify that the amount of members there is accurate while also maintaining the confidentiality of Haven members?
Okay, so essentially, just as with any other organization that's registered in campus groups, campus groups generates a total number of members of the organization. And so we're contending that there's still a possibility that Haven can just report out that total sum of numbers and have it externally verified, without which is the revealing every single member's actual first and last name. And we find that the thrust of what this rule is intended to actualize is not dependent upon every single member's name being known, and it's not necessarily more trustworthy or more verifiable that we would include every single person's name as opposed to a total number, which still represents numerically Haven's impact on this campus and the totality of the community that it's serving. As far as the specifics of that, there's definitely the idea of the LGBTQ plus liaison being responsible for verifying Haven's total number in campus groups, as they are also a member of Haven, and having that total be reported out without having to disclose and reveal the names and by extension, the identities of Haven's members.
Other comments? Representative Richmond.
Just wanted to say thank you for coming in today. It's great to see this, and obviously this sentiment is something that I think we can all get behind. The one comment that I did have is I was lucky enough to serve on the Appropriations Committee last year, and I do know that one piece of data that was actually really telling was being able to know the numbers also by class year of the members of an organization. And I was wondering if, you know, I would love to have, you know, everybody's input on that, but I was wondering if any of you would be amenable to including that as data that can be disclosed, just because having that gives gives an extra level of security to the Appropriations Committee when looking at the numbers in a byline organization.
So as Nick said, in campus groups, there is a like total number of students in Haven, but there is also a data section that we can share with you as like officers that goes into specifics of year, if they're a graduate student, if they're like staff, and it like splits up by that data without disclosing names.
Ex officio.
Hi. First, just want to say, like, thank you for advocating for your community. This is super well written, and I think it's really important that we have student groups on campus that are advocating for their communities. I did have one question. So the reporting in line 58, saying that the student union provides data on the quantity of current members in the organization. You had indicated that the I don't know if it's the president or the director of Haven was providing that number from campus groups. Is there any sort of dual accountability within Haven that is maybe, is there a board or some sort of an executive board where there's multiple people confirming that number, or is it only being reported by a singular person? Thank you.
Okay, so Haven.
Could you speak a little bit closer to the mic?
Of course. Okay, so Haven has a multi-tiered system of like regulation. So not only is it like Piper and myself as the presidents, but we do have a remaining board of members. And we do have, and actually at some point we will have a liaison who will be appointed to us as well. But we also have advisors who could double check that number. And we have our political action chair who serves as an LGBT liaison on this here assembly, who could also verify all those numbers. So there definitely are like multiple stages of accountability, and it's not just being unilaterally reported out by one person who, for whatever nefarious reason, if there was one, would like falsify the number or something.
Thank you.
Vice President Letterman.
Thank you for coming in. I appreciate the work you're doing on this. And I think it's, and this is a display of support. You know, I'm pleased to support this and, you know, really trust the work that Executive Vice President Ting has done to make sure that you all can remain byline funded and that we have a process that works for everyone on this campus. So thank you all very much.
Lovely. At this time, I am going to call a question and force a vote on this resolution, as we have a lot of things to get to today. Vice President Ting.
Before we move into voting, I'd like to propose a brief amendment for the sake of specificity.
State your amendment.
So I motion to amend, to strike line 22 to 24 and replace it with, whereas per the student activity fee SAF 2024 to 2026 application, comma, Haven is required to list all names of its members in order to have an eligible application. And that's just a line to provide context in the status quo. And this arose after a conversation with VP DeLorenzo about the logistics of the original line.
Lovely. Could you restate that amendment? Say it again.
Yeah, and I can also send you an updated document with all amendments written in.
That would be great.
Per the student activity fee 2024 to 2026 application, Haven is required to list all names of its members in order to have an eligible application.
Lovely. The previous question is ordered. Is there a second? Lovely. Is that by unanimous consent?
Yes.
Any dissent? Seeing none, that amendment is in order. Please send the updated language, and we can get that updated. Any further comments or questions? Vice President Ting.
One more amendment. I motion to add a be it further resolved clause on line 65 saying, be it further resolved, the Student Assembly agrees to codify this exemption for Haven, the LGBTQ plus student union, in its governing documents for all future byline applications. And I motion to do so with unanimous consent.
Can you state the amendment one more time?
Sure. Be it further resolved, the Student Assembly agrees to codify this exemption for Haven, the LGBTQ student union, into its governing documents for all future byline applications.
That's not in order at this time. That needs a charter amendment, which we can address at another time, but.
Oh no, absolutely. And this is just a line to, you know, allude to the future like byline and charter amendments that will be coming in future resolutions. This itself holds no real hard power other than just symbolic, but it serves as a promise between the Student Assembly to stand in allyship with Haven to do so.
I appreciate the comment. The parliamentarian is telling me that it is still not in order. And we can move Resolution 17, which is also not in order, to the first meeting of the spring semester to vote on it then, when it will be in order. And that can be on the agenda for that first meeting. Are you amenable to that?
Yeah.
Lovely. Okay. Any further comments or questions? Seeing none, I'm going to call a question. That discussion is now closed. All those in favor of this resolution? All those opposed? 16 in favor, none against, the rest not voting. Lovely. Thank you guys so much. As I said, Resolution 17, which is on the agenda, is not in order at this time. The chair would smile favorably on a motion to postpone this resolution until the first meeting of the spring semester. Vice President Letterman.
I move that resolution 17 be suspended indefinitely. And I ask unanimous consent for its consideration of that motion.
Is there a second? Lovely. Is there any dissent to that motion? See? We do just have to vote. That is non-debatable, which is part of Robert's rules.
Can we still present it within the semester? Even if we don't vote on it, can we still show it just so on the first day of the spring semester we could vote on it rather than present it?
Let me consult my parliamentarian. Okay. Technically, we can do that. However, we think it would be more efficient to present it at two consecutive meetings so there's continuity. We would still have to vote on it the first meeting of the spring semester. So, I'm going to cede my time to Parliamentarian McGard.
Yeah, so as part of our charter, for every single charter amendment, we have to consider that over the course of two meetings. One to present the amendment and then one to vote on it. This, because it pertains to Appendix A, which is all of our SAF related stuff, we cannot consider that during this semester because we are in a byline funded year. So while yes, it can be brought up, we can present it today. However, the issue with that is the assembly would technically then be considering this at every single meeting until we actually vote on it. So
okay,
you'd have to be bringing it up every single time just to strike it down. So, yeah.
Okay, I rescind my dissent.
Lovely. Any other dissent? Seeing no dissent, that does pass. Resolution 17. All right, we will now move on to resolution 18, the Student Assembly Advising Board. I'll ask that everybody, oh, that's right. Vice President Letterman.
I move that we suspend, I ask unanimous consent that we suspend the rules and add resolution 18 to the agenda.
This is kind of a funky process because it's already on the agenda. So any dissent to suspending the rules to put resolution 18 on the agenda? Seeing none, that is on the agenda. I will cede the chairship to Vice President Ting for this resolution.
Thank you, President Keel.
Hello, everybody. Let me just open the box real quick. Vice President Letterman, is resolution 18 in the box?
Resolution 18 is not in the box. Resolution 19 is in the box, though.
I'll present on resolution 19 first, so you guys can get that in the box.
Okay. Since we're not voting on 18 today, it doesn't need to be in the box, but it does need to be in the box for...
Okay.
We'll put it in the box at some point today.
Okay, lovely. Resolution 19, first of all, to create a process for the reallocation of rollover funds. So many byline organizations have significant quantities of funds in their reserve account. Currently, the process to reallocate those funds to other byline organizations is to force a fine on them by finding something they did wrong, finding they did something inadequately, and we would basically be
looking for things they did wrong so that we could reallocate those funds to other organizations. Not really a system that works because it means that we're holding byline organizations accountable for things that we otherwise wouldn't, just so we can help other organizations. Additionally, there has been instances in past assemblies where student activities or other organizations have transferred funds between reserve accounts, which is currently totally prohibited by our charter, but that's been kind of the way to get around that. This Resolution 19 creates a process for the reallocation of reserve account funds by vote of the student assembly. I think this will really help us be able to reallocate funds to organizations that need it. SAFC has over $2 million in the reserve account. Slope Day needs more money, and they're not going to be able to get it by this year because we can't do – they're getting the allocation from the last funding cycle. So it'll give us a lot more financial mobility to be able to reallocate funds and support other organizations and also support initiatives that any of us have.
All right. Thank you so much, President Kuehl. The floor is now open. Do we have any comments, questions, and orders? Yes.
I just have a quick question. So if the money were to sit like in this like rollover or reserve account, well, like what would happen with it? Would it just be sitting there?
Yeah, it just sits there. It doesn't do anything. We have a reserve account too, which we can spend out of, but it's not, doesn't have anywhere close to the amount. I don't know the exact number amount. I don't have in front of me, but it doesn't have anywhere close to the other financial amounts of other byline organizations. Part of this came out of COVID when there was no programming going on. So basically, this resolution just gives us the ability to have more financial mobility to move those things around without finding organizations to be able to do it.
Thank you so much, President Kuehl. Any other comments or questions on the floor? Representative Wang?
Hi, I just had a quick question also. So like you said, the student activities like has like a lot of money right in the reserve. So are they allowed to like spend that money like next year if they wanted to, or is it just stuck there?
They are. And so part of this resolution, there's a line let's find it, line 34. So we have been talking to Campus Activities about this. Campus Activities is the office that oversees financial accounts. They are in favor of this resolution. They think it'll give us the ability to be able to do this where we don't have to find organizations. The minimum amount that any byline can have in their account is 30%. So there's not a situation that arises where the student assembly completely drains any account. There's a minimum that can be, that has to be in there of their allocation. Does that answer your question? We also can't vote on this today because it is a charter amendment. So this will be brought up again next week.
Representative Brazaka.
I can't hear you.
Okay. I know it says below 30% of the relevant organization or committee's annual student activity fee appropriation. I wanted to know if that's like eligible to be like raised, because I feel like 30% is a very small amount of how much the how much an organization is able to like keep of their rollover money, especially given that like that organization may be planning on using that money like for a larger event or initiative in a following year or so.
I cede my time to Vice President DeLorenzo.
So yes, so the that
percentage was really determined based on a few factors of like how the bylaws really operate. One notable thing that I'll point out is SAFC, they went through their reforms, and these reforms were geared at targeting organizations just spending money to spend money so that they remain within the tier. I feel like in this scenario, and we've definitely discussed this a lot as like an exec board and pretty openly with some of the bylines, right, is that there should be an incentive that they have to spend the money that they are directly out, right? Because that money up until this point hasn't been able to be taken back. And so for, you know, their incentive right now is post good programming and then go and reapply and prove that, like, you know, they did a good job the past 2 years and then they're worthy of like an increase. But up until this point, that sort of incentive of like getting them to spend money hasn't been there. Additionally, I would note that like since COVID, when all of the bylines, like the student assembly back then, they voted that the bylines kept their money. And so we're really in this scenario now where that money since COVID has been piling up in these, some of these reserve account balances. And so in terms of, you know, that percentage, the reason why it was chosen to be 30% is because some of the bylines, the way that they spend their money and the way that it's allocated and they have to save some to spend over the summer for program fall, it's really to help allow that fall. And so, you know, earlier today we met with someone from campus activities and kind of discussed this a little bit, but it was really a scenario where we said 30% or 30% in here, and it didn't like set off anything in terms of that, right? So I feel like a lot of people are comfortable with that 30% amount, but I'd love to hear other thoughts as well.
The other thing I would add just real quick is rollovers, similar to this, are a standard at this university as well as pretty much every other university organization. And 30% is pretty much the standard number for doing that.
All right, going by speaking order, Representative Terhar. Sorry, did you have the Representative Talone or Terhar have their, you had yours up, please.
Are there any historical organizations?
Could you speak a little closer to the mic?
Sorry. Are there any organizations that historically haven't used their budgets to their full extent, or like a type of organization, out of curiosity, either that you found or that the office like provided you with?
Yeah, so there are organizations, and I will cede some of my time to De Lorenzo, but I'm just going to say ECO, for example, while we have been having a lot of talks with them, they haven't spent any money in like the last 4 years. And there has been other issues with other organizations not spending the full extent of their financials. And I cede the rest of my time to Vice President De Lorenzo.
So yes, I have the an Excel sheet that has last year's like beginning balance of what all the orgs started with, their income, which is like student activity fee or any other intra-fund transfers, as well as their expenses, and then the end of year balance. Right now, across all of the bylines that are undergraduate, there's $3,338,121 sitting in reserve. A large portion of that is made up by a few of like the, you know, the bigger orgs since COVID and the rollovers. But I will say that there are definitely like some orgs, and just looking at this right now, where they're not even at a point where they're spending, like they have the capabilities to spend their allocation. And then they still have some from the beginning of the year balance. And so this is really targeted at, you know, trying to like do good with the university and the funds that we potentially have available and exploring those different routes so that it's not just sitting there not doing anything, if that makes sense.
Thank you.
Representative Wang.
So I just had a question as to whether or not there's some sort of like process that these organizations can like contact the student assembly, for example, if they were to like want to use their reserves in the future and they were to provide like a valid example or like plan of what they were going to use it in the future for, because it feels like this is very much like an internal thing just within Student Assembly. Like, is there any kind of process that organizations can come to us and say, like, don't take our money right now, we have a plan for it?
Yes, there is stipulations outlined in this amendment to basically counter that and also provide a hearing period. And also this has to be voted on by the Student Assembly so organizations can come to those meetings and talk about why they do think it's a good idea or they don't think it's a good idea. It says, and I quote, 21 days prior to the proposed transfer reallocation pursuant to paragraph A of this section, the Assembly shall notify the Treasurer and Advisor of the relevant organization or committee in writing of the proposed transfer or reallocation specifying the amount of the transfer or reallocation. If the organization or committee should object, it shall then notify the Assembly no later than 7 days following the issuance of the notification, at which point the President of the Assembly shall schedule a time for the Assembly to hear and decide an appeal from the organization or committee.
Seeing no further comments or questions, yes, Vice President Letterman.
Yeah, I would say, you know, we looked at this internal operations committee. I think the big thing that stood out to us was just the sheer amount of money that's just sitting out there unused. A lot of this is, you know, a result of COVID, where you had organizations where they were fully funded, and then they had money that were just left over. All of us here, we pay the student activity fee, at least my perspective, and we fully fund all these organizations, and plenty of them are going to come in with increased requests because of inflation and so on. And so I think the sort of big push behind this is just saying, let's not have this money just sitting in these organizations' accounts when we already fund everything that they want to do every year. And we're saying, all right, well, we'll leave you a big cushion. We'll leave you your 33% of your total. In the case of SAFC, that's more than $500,000 that they'll still have in reserves every year. At the $1.7 million budget, but to make sure we can actually direct this spending towards folks that need it. And I was also thinking too, when we're doing this, you know, if an organization wants to come for us again, if, you know, we take the rollover funds, then we can just give it back to them, right, for specific programming. But it might be, for instance, that there's a lot of money in this reserve account of one byline. There's a lot, and another byline needs money for a special project, and they can't transfer it among themselves right now. But what we're saying is, okay, if we get a request from this one byline, we can go in and take up to 33%. We'll put it in our pot, and then we'll move it into another pot to have them fund it. So it's an imperfect solution. If you all have amendments, I think that would be great. But I just hope it means that we can have all this money that previous student paid actually be put to some good use this coming year.
The other thing I would say on that note is that we talked about amending to allow bylines to transfer between each other. I, as well as other members of the Assembly, feel it's really important that the Student Assembly is involved in these processes to bring bylines close to the Student Assembly. You know, we are the governing body of all of these organizations, and just as we're appointing liaisons, so too should we be interacting with these organizations on a financial level and being involved in what they're doing and trying to support them and make these solutions happen rather than having them figure things out between themselves, because that's our job. That's what we do.
Vice President DiLorenzo.
So I just, you know, that was very well said, Patrick, in terms of like the orgs and being able to transfer funds in between them. It technically in the charter, like there's a stipulation saying that they can't, but we have examples from the past 3 or 4 years of where those transfers have happened and the Student Assembly hasn't known about it. And so the way that at least I foresee this going about is what Patrick said, where we can then like team up and bring those bylines closer in and get them more involved with the Student Assembly if there was ever to be an inter-fund transfer. Secondarily to that, there are bylines and, you know, obviously like just looking at the Excel sheet, if their year-to-date income is lower than their expenses from the past year, and it also goes over the beginning of the year balance, we can tell that there were transfers going on between different funding sources off campus. I will say that like there are bylines that just have a lot of money sitting there. They don't really know what to do with it. While at the same time, there are bylines who are struggling and pulling in, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars from every which way just to be able to have their one event of the year. And so I feel like it's really important that we help people out. And this is like the one of the best ways that we can go about doing.
Thank you. Undergrad University Assembly Representative Wallen, or do you wish to cede your time to Representative Razaka?
I'll cede my time.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. So like the timeline of like how the reallocation would work. So it would be like, if another byline organization is requesting money for like a special project from the student assembly, and another different one has like an excess of money, you would tell the one that has the excess like, oh, 20 in 21 days we're gonna take this money from you, and then after that 21 days passes, if they don't choose to like dissent it or whatever, you're able to transfer the money to another byline organization. And I kind of just had a question about like how long it would take for like a byline organization that's in need of money to be able to like receive that, like actually as a total, because like 21 days is a long time, and then they would have to apply first, and then you'd have to go through the process of transferring the money. So would that probably be like what, like a month and a half, 2 months total?
So a couple things. First of all, yes, the process takes 21 days. And though that feels like a long time, I think that it's important to have that period in case organizations want to protest. I think that's really important to be able to do that. Second of all, if an organization is in need of instantaneous funding, we do have special projects funding that organizations can apply to at any time. And depending on the level, there are different ways that it needs to be approved, which is stipulated in our bylaws, I believe. So they are absolutely welcome to do that. This is more for like larger sums of money that are not covered under special projects, or like for Slope Day is a perfect example. Like if Slope Day is an event that is a ways off now, that they know they're gonna need additional funding, we could start this process early with SAFC, talking to them, helping them understand like what, where we're moving it to, what it's for, and moving those funds in a timely manner over the course of 21 days. The moving of financials should not take a significant amount of time. Everything's electronic, so it's fairly quick.
To facilitate a more efficient debate, I will be implementing a speaking time of 1 minute. Representative Wallen.
A motion to end debate by unanimous consent.
There was a motion on the floor. There was a second. Do we have any dissent? Seeing no dissent, we will be ending debate. As this is a charter amendment, we will not be able to vote on it. But thank you, President Keel. I see chair back over to you.
Lovely. We will now move on to resolution 18, which still does not look like it's in the box. With that in mind, and with the understanding that representatives haven't had a time to look that over, I'll just give a brief overview and then I will present it at the next meeting. I just feel like that's probably the best way to do this. Resolution 18 is creating an advisory board for the student assembly made up of 12 members, all alumni of the student assembly, eight of them are alumni of the student assembly, and then four are appointed positions from faculty, staff, and administration. They don't have any oversight power of the student assembly, but would meet on a biweekly or monthly basis, depending on availability, to advise the student assembly on historical contexts. These positions will be appointed, and then they're appointed until they step down or they're removed by the student assembly to help build institutional knowledge. So seeing as it's still not in the box, I'll present that at the next meeting and hopefully we can vote on it 2 meetings from now.
So it currently is in the box. It's under resolution 17, but it does appear to be incomplete. However, for those of you on the floor who wish to read this more in depth, it is available in the box.
I motion to table resolution 17 to the next meeting.
There is a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second, any dissent? And was that by unanimous consent?
It was.
All right, there was a motion. Second, that motion passes.
Well,
Lovely. Lovely. I'm going to read out all of these liaison appointments, and if anybody has any objections, you can object to them, but we'll just do it at one, and you can object to them at the end. Okay, so liaison appointments. Lizzie Barrett as liaison to the Slope Day Programming Board. Lucia Ballastreri as liaison to Outdoor Odyssey. Patrick Keel as liaison to CUMS. Alison Bangura to liaison of Minds Matter. Stellar Sun as liaison to the International Students Union. Nicholas McGard as liaison to Student Activities Funding Commission. Claire Ting as liaison to Gender Justice Advocacy Coalition. Clyde Letterman as liaison to the Provost and Dean of Faculty. We'll do the liaisons first. Any objections? Seeing none, those liaisons are made. Student Assembly Committee appointments. Kayla Schechter, Olivia Holloway, Simone Chan, Minghan Gao, Hara Shin as members of the External Communications Committee, Ava Egehi as chair of the Dining Committee, and Agnes Coleman as deputy parliamentarian. Any objections? Seeing none, University Assembly Committee appointments. Rocco De Lorenzo, Clyde Letterman, and Nicholas McGard as members of the University Assembly Codes and Conduct Committee. Alison Bagura and Niles Height as members of the University Assembly Transportation Hearing and Review Board. Any objections? Seeing none, we will appoint faculty senate committees at a later date. At this time, seeing no objection, the chair would smile favorably on a motion to adjourn. Representative Everett.
Motion to adjourn by unanimous consent.
There's a second on the floor. The motion on the floor is to adjourn by unanimous consent. Any objections? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned. The time is 5:44. Thank you all for coming. We'll see you at the next meeting.